Well, my what part of my report from paternity leave includes that Ellis is smiling now. A couple of weeks ago, Kristen said, "You have to come over here right away. He's smiling." So I ran over to see what our then five-week-old son was doing, and I did not see much. And I thought perhaps Kristen was engaging in some wishful thinking. But then I saw Kristen was tickling and making funny noises, and then Ellis made a face. I think it was a smile. I know it was joy. And I know that it made my heart overflow with amazing joy. Joy is the spiritual theme of the month. And Unitarian minister Carl Scoville charged the people of our faith tradition by saying, "Our work on earth is to explore, enjoy, and share this goodness." He says the aim of life is joy. Being around babies can remind us that at times we should not have to do anything to experience joy. Babies can just experience happiness out of nowhere from the simplest things like cooing noises. But as adults, being around babies can also remind us that, can also remind us when we ourselves have strayed away from perhaps a more natural state of being called joy. Theologically and ethically, many folks view joy as a birthright or an inherent part of our being. For many of us, however, when we take the time to reflect upon our own lives, at times it can seem like we are too disconnected from the power of joy. About 3 years ago, I went through an intense reflective period, and in examining my life, I realized that I had a fun deficit. I did one of those circles where you look at your work and your romance and your friendships and your exercise, and I did the fun part, and I said to myself, there's no other way to say it. I do not have enough fun in my life right now. I was taking my work too seriously, and in some ways I was taking myself too seriously. And for a couple reasons, for many reasons, this was a tough admission for me. This was a tough pill to swallow. Because first of all, I was falling short of living out a central tenet of my theology. I agree with Carl Scoville and the Dalai Lama that we are called to celebrate life. We are called to happiness. Even amidst the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, we are called to be grateful for the good that is and aim for joy. The second reason why it was tough for me to admit this was that I had been down this road before. 22 years ago in my alcoholic bottom, the gig was up on fun for me. I was buried in pain, and I thought sobriety would be painfully boring, but I was willing to take that on if I could give away some of the pain that was in my life. Thankfully, in early sobriety, I had some friends who taught me that life without alcohol and drugs could be tremendously fun. A group of us developed an unbridled commitment to joy amongst ourselves. We had a running crew, and in living out our commitment, we went to movies, museums, concerts, parties, biking, camping, and on and on. We were proud that we could have fun in sobriety, and we did it. But somewhere along the way, I got too serious about meeting responsibilities. Fortunately, I admitted that I needed to make some changes, and I'm still very much working on this. And in trying to figure out what I needed to do to close the fun gap, I asked myself, what were some of the activities in my past which brought me the most joy? And fortunately, after spending some time, I had a pretty good list, but one answer that kept coming to me again and again was playing tennis. So I got a new racket and shoes, and I dedicated myself to playing again. And over the last 3 years, I have been pretty successful in getting out onto the courts time and again. I don't play as often and certainly not as well as I would like, but when I'm on the court, it makes me happy. Sometimes I'm able to get into the flow of footwork. Sometimes I'm able to watch the ball. Sometimes I'm able to hit the ball. But just walking around in between points and picking up the ball off the fence, it is like Zen and the art of playing mediocre tennis. And I bounce the ball 5 times before I serve, and I breathe in and out, and life is beautiful. I forget about a lot of the stress in my life, and I laugh quite a bit. So, knowing the value of that experience and the fact that many of you have had similar experiences, I know, in trying to close the fun gap in your own lives, I'm going to jump right in and offer the spiritual exercise of the week. This is your homework if you choose to accept it. This is an assignment in our small group ministry programs, and I offer it for you today as well. It is simple. Engage in a specific activity designed to bring you joy. Go do something designed to bring you joy. Keep in mind that in 2 weeks in worship service, we're going to explore the importance of and how to bring joy to others. So today, this week, I want you to focus on you experiencing joy yourself. So pick something fun to do. This is your church assignment, people. Pick something fun to do. It can be small or large, whatever works in your life right now. Maybe there's a book you've been wanting to read or write. Maybe there's a film you've been wanting to see or make. A person you've been wanting to connect with or hang out with. Is there a sport or activity you've wanted to do or a trip you wanted to take? Pick something on your bucket list and do it. Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg says, "To be truly happy in this world is a revolutionary act because true happiness often depends upon a revolution within ourselves." To be truly happy in this world is a revolutionary act because true happiness often depends upon a revolution within ourselves. So this can be revolutionary work because it brings us back to living out the reality that each and every one of us are people of inherent dignity and worth. And sometimes, in the living of our lives, we become disconnected from that truth. And we have to lovingly shake up some of our thought and action patterns. It can feel radical. So, if you have been struggling with dominant patterns of apathy or sadness or anger, you can benefit from taking part in liberating yourself back to some ways of joy. I believe this with every ounce of my being. Now, of course, many of us also need to ask for and receive help in finding ways of joy. We don't do this living in isolation. There are so many reasons why you should join in the joy revolution. Experiencing joy is a great way to do self-care. Gandhi said laughter is a good indicator of spiritual health, and there are many reasons for that, including we now know many researchers are in agreement that laughter, just one of many manifestations of joy, brings multiple tangible health benefits. Here are some specific examples from a study written by Melinda Smith, Gina Kemp, and Jean Siegel. 1, laughter relaxes the whole body. A good hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes afterwards. 2, laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells, and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease. 3, laughter triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve pain. And 4, laughter protects the heart, literally. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. There are many positives which come to us through joyful living. And so in order to get there, we have to acknowledge and admit that many of us experience roadblocks to experiencing joy. So I want to go through a couple of those because I think many of us can identify with at least one or a couple of these. These are things that prevent us from experiencing joy. Guilt. I shouldn't be selfish and do that for myself. I should be spending my time right now doing for others. Perfectionism. I love to dance, but I'm really awkward on the dance floor. I embarrass myself every time, so I don't do it. Unhelpful waiting. You know, I have this list of things that I'm going to do to enjoy my life, but I'm not going to do them until I retire. I got a great retirement planned, so I'm going to, that's for retirement. That person can actually physiologically forget what actually makes him or her happy. Not good to wait that long. The power of now. Don't forget the power now. Here's one that I think gets many of us in the gut. Thinking others are responsible for making you happy. Oh! From early on, I've had that one ingrained in me. That's an embarrassing one for many. Can feel like an entitlement complex. Great spiritual leaders like the Dalai Lama teach, you have the ability and the responsibility to do the things to make you happy. This is not something that the others around you owe you or even probably can ever do for you. You can be in the middle of tons of love and beautiful things and be miserable. We have to work through these roadblocks. Sometimes it takes grit and guts. Here's some examples of people going for joy with grit. Patrick paints landscapes because he realized that he didn't want to or need to be in the high-level artist group, the competitive group, but he wanted to be in the more relaxed, supportive, and playful group and go off and paint on his own in his garage. Andy joined the knitting group because he got over the fact that he was the only guy in the group, and he realized that knitting is exactly what he loves to do. Louise plays Scrabble. Beatrice reads good books over a cup of coffee. Kathy and Dave read poetry out loud together. Mariah loves to organize people to eat meals together in their retirement community. Sarah rows on a crew team. Joe builds sand castles, sometimes with his kids, sometimes by himself. Anne watches Roger Federer play amazing tennis for endless years in a row. People, church has to be a place where we all share and cherish our stories of how we deal with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and still have joy. We have to brag about each other and tell each other stories because then we learn to do it ourselves. I know you know, that engaging in habits of joy is valuable. If we stay committed, we build up our joy muscles and increase our capacities for feeling. Like most things of value, the art of joy takes dedication and practice. Now I know some folks just do it naturally. I don't know many of those folks, but I encourage you to dig deep. Listen to your soul. What is it that you want and need to feel joy? And what is it that you don't need? Smash through your roadblocks. Ask a friend for guidance or to play along with you as a co-conspirator. Hey, there's this crazy thing I've been wanting to do. It'll be so much fun. Please come do it with me. before I end, I want to acknowledge what we all know to be true. We don't always control life, and not everything is joyful. Bad things happen to good people. Our loved ones get sick, we get laid off from jobs, relationships end and break our hearts, and on and on and on. That is why, separate from the art of happiness, we must be mindful of the fact that grace happens. Grace happens. In the art of happiness, we benefit from making efforts based on our own unique personhood to put ourselves in situations that will bring joy. In terms of grace, we benefit from developing awareness and ability to live in joy regardless of the circumstances. I think the Hindu sacred texts known as the Upanishads are touching on the intersection of joy and grace when they instruct that which is whole is joy. There is no joy in fractional existence. Only the whole is joy. But one must desire to understand the whole. The glass of water exemplifies this. It's beautiful now. It serves me. It sings. But it's also broken, and it will be broken. And I love both. The same is true for our relationships and our health. This is high-level spiritual stuff, and I'm not being naive, but it can happen that we can love our bodies and life when our bodies are working well and when we are in chronic pain. It can happen with relationships. Things are good. The people I love in my life are doing well. Or no, now one I love with all my heart is down and struggling. You can still feel joy with the whole of it all. But I think this is why you do the spiritual practices, because you develop your joy muscles, you develop your habits, and then it gets you through the storms. Embrace joy, because anyone with a caring heart can look around this world and find countless unfair, unconscionable things happening and thus convince themselves to stay mad or hopeless. But it's also true that in looking around, we witness acts of bold courage, pure beauty, and magnificent miracles. Embrace joy, and your light will shine on somebody else who is struggling in the dark. Embrace joy, and you will notice the most amazing things that you might have missed otherwise. Embrace joy, because it's a way to live out what you have known about ever since you were a baby. Embrace joy, because, hey, what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? Huh? We're going to sing a hymn now in the gray hymnal. 121, We'll Build a Land.